Blog Talk Radio.
Believe everything the mainstream media tells you? We don't.
Oh,
we cover what mainstream doesn't. Welcome
I just
to Beyond the Mainstream with Donnie C, Texas Bob, and Cinnamon. Tin hat not required. Call us with your opinion at 347-324-3752.
Well,
all right.
It's
all yours.
Well, how's everybody doing tonight? Anybody? I guess we'll have people calling in here late because of me. Maybe.
No. Patrick Anderson, the 2, is in the chat room. How you doing, sir? Patrick? Nice to see you. All right. What's going on? What happened in the past week that we need to know about, Scotty? We're going to talk about something this Sunday from last Sunday, and I can't remember what the hell it was. Well, Patrick, there he's gone. I don't remember what it was.
There you go.
No, go ahead.
John was going to bring up something from, you're right. I think John said he was going to carry something over. Contract.
Yeah.
He was talking about contract. We went to leadership. Norwood Jewell gets sentenced. Tomorrow,
is it?
I believe it's the 5th.
You answered 4 emails right there. You just answered 4 emails. People. There you go. You knocked them all out. 2 from Arlington, 1 from Fort Wayne, and somebody in Baltimore. By the way,
you know,
agrees with the president. Go ahead.
Do we have anybody? I don't. They closed the plant in Baltimore. That was
a long time ago,
wasn't it?
He didn't say he was in, you know, he's a worker. I mean, he's probably retired.
Oh.
We do have retirees in Maryland.
There you go. Yeah,
We used to get a few emails from Baltimore. Matter of fact.
Really? It's
been a while, but we have had them.
The Astro Van. Now they made the Astro Van with Baltimore.
We made something. It could have been Astro. God, Astro Van. What a piece
right.
of crap.
Yeah.
I had
yeah.
one.
Anyway.
Believe it or not.
I had 2 of them. You either liked them or you hated them. Loved them or hated them.
Well, I had mine a few years. I liked it at first, and they didn't last long before you had to stick money in them. If I remember.
I think I'm going to agree with that. Anyway, but Mary Spring Powell.
Hold on, something's running. Hang on. Okay, go ahead. I got it off.
Mary Springkowski did post something about Ford, and she said she told everybody it was coming, and it's Ford has thrown the warning shot out, but not a warning shot. They threw it out there that they want the health care.
The what?
And
say that again. Ford did
they
what?
They want health care. They want to increase all the co-pays on health care.
Really.
And if I remember right, she also says there was something about retirees.
No, I wouldn't doubt that.
And that was from her local TV station. There, evidently, they interviewed some people down there and the retirees. And,
yeah.
You know, nobody was happy when they talked to them, when they heard about it. And it doesn't make sense. They've been having record profits for a long time. 10 years. 10 years they've been having record profit. But we didn't get a dollar an hour raise, and they didn't do anything for retirees.
Yeah.
Except charge you more money.
Yeah.
For your health
care. That Viva's excellent. Viva. If I knew back in the day before I retired, I would have never retired. Think twice before you do. Because you're getting ripped if you're a retiree.
Yeah. that if you have any kind of a health concern, yeah, or something that you have to maintain, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you, people we talked about, hell, we've been talking about this for 4 years now. That poor guy is, his wife with her vision, needing those shots, and then they don't throw the shots no more.
You're right.
So.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is. And I understand healthcare is expensive. I understand Big Pharma is gouging everybody. But, you know, you guys make a lot of money. And I'm not saying that as an excuse, but I'm just saying it's affordable. And a lot of people
yeah.
book off, write off on the books and healthcare, which was a tax write-off for you to begin with, and it probably still is. It's just a different form because General Motors and Ford and Chrysler still fund their own healthcare in a roundabout way. So I'm sure they're writing off somehow. Maybe. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. I don't know. But,
okay, I got an email I got to read, Scott. I got to. I just got it. Oh, man. It says, guys, I'm 81 years old from local 1292, which is the second one from 1292 we've gotten in 2 weeks. That's Grand Blanc, the old tank plant. Okay, guys, I'm 81 years old from local 1292. Tell me why I have to I have to pay full price for my dick pills and you young people don't. One signed, one horny broke retiree, Jack Paul. Jack, you got a sense of humor. Oh my God! Somebody else wrote about 4 years ago about that they had to pay for Cialis. I think is there a Cialis?
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
Cialis.
Cialis and Viagra.
I knew that, but it was Cialis he was talking about. He was talking. He said that when he was working, he got them for I think he said $10 or something, whatever the copay was for a worker. He said my doctor gave me a prescription after I retired, and I went and they called me and they said, you really want to pay it was $200 and something for whatever amount of pills he had. He said, hell no. Hell no. So, yeah, I guess that is a problem. That doesn't make too much sense for the poor retiree that gets older, that probably needs them. And the young workers, they get them at a huge discount.
Think they do.
I don't
know.
Is he? Yeah. Well, I'm sure he didn't write that. He's lying about it, I don't think.
No, that's not nothing you lie about.
Jack Paul, you are the man. I like your sense of humor. Yeah, your dick pills. Oh my God! I don't know how much those cost, but I imagine they cost quite a bit. I don't know. Is there only two makers? Can't you get them for? I listened to a radio show that what the hell is it? Four Hymns or no? Is that it? Four Hymns? Something for $5 you can get something. You can get diagnosed over the computer from a doctor, and if he gives you okay, you can. I guess your first prescription is, or first pill, or I don't know, for $5. How hell if I know. I think it's Four Hymns because they have other, like, have vitamins and things there, too.
Right.
I don't know.
I want to say Viagra was, like, $30 a pill.
Wow.
And Cialis was either 20 or 15.
Jesus.
You know, so.
That's something.
Yeah. You you get 10 of those little blue pills, that's $300.
Wow. Yeah.
You're paying that.
Like that guy, you know, 200, I forgot what it was, 235 or something. He about had a heart attack. He really thought being retired, you got the same, especially with that kind of pill that when you get older, you might need it. And he was really surprised and shocked that he didn't get no deal anymore. They didn't pay for it.
Right. Well, that could be a rude awakening, really.
Oh, yeah. I mean, oh, absolutely.
You're cruising along fine, and mom was happy, and, you know, everybody's happy, and then all of a sudden, your prescription gets canceled.
Yeah.
It's a problem. Maybe, I guess.
Well, yeah, if you're an older guy, you know, you've got other medical problems going on and you might need help. I don't know. There's some pills that probably screws things up for you in your system. And when you're an older guy and you think, wow, our union is a great union, you know, they're not going to, you know, screw me out of Viagra or what's the other one? Whatever the
Cialis.
And it just would make sense that if you're a retiree, you're older, you would get, you know, the same price you were paying when you were working. But as Jack Paul says, he would like to know, why is it the young workers at the plant that he worked at one time, he went to... 1292 has been closed for a long time, so I don't know what he was doing there, but they were doing something. Skilled Trade was over there doing something. And anyway, he getting them cheap, and all of a sudden you're retired and you need them, and you got to pay full price. And you said, how much did you say, $30 a pill?
I thought it was $30.
Well, I don't know. That's insane. Wow.
And if you're retired, that's a chunk out of your payment in a month. Just enjoy a healthy sex life.
Well, Jack Paul, I got a suggestion for you. You go down to JCPenney's and get a little plaid, you know, little skirt. And some white socks and some black patent shoes and a white blouse and put your wife's hair in pigtails and pretend she's, you know, you guys are back in high school. You know what I'm saying? She's been a bad girl and, you know, she needs to be punished a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Jack, come on. Do I have to spell it out to you? I mean, that's a hell of a lot cheaper than paying $30 a pill for one ride on a merry-go-round. Wow.
Yeah.
But remember, Jack, if you get a pill and if it lasts over 4 hours, don't go to the hospital. Celebrate. Celebrate.
Yeah. Well, if I remember right... It goes on your blood pressure.
I don't know.
Isn't it? They can lower your blood pressure, and they monitor your heart, and they jump with your blood pressure. And remember that it was a movie. Jack Nicholson he took some of that, and they had to rush into the hospital because he lowered his blood pressure too low. He looked at the girl that he was planning on having an amorous time with, and he apologized to her, and he said, I forgot. I didn't do something right with the pills. He wound up in the hospital.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know. I guess it must do something. I don't know why the UAW and Biva doesn't take care of that. They don't take care of a lot of medicine anymore.
Right.
That's our union for you, all for the workers, buddy.
Go ahead. Speaking of the union, they closed Warren Transmission Friday.
Damn, Friday.
260 hourly workers.
Wow.
They have moved. From what I understand, they've moved that work to Mexico and a little piece of it to Canada.
Really?
Yeah.
Mexico.
Yep. And to Mexico. And I don't know. It's just. It's sad. There was a lady from the Warren plant. She had called up this last week. She asked President Trump, anybody who was running for office, president, senator, state representative, she said, I don't care who shows up. I want you to see what they're doing. I want to talk about to you about what they're doing to us at this plant. And as far as I know, nobody ever showed up.
Nobody showed up.
I want to say Dan Kildee was on the news talking about it, but he wasn't down there. And somebody was talking about how you and I deal with stuff with this, the backwards ramifications of it. How many people are going to be affected by these people being out, and Warren's not a little town, but that was a solid to that community for years.
Wow.
And, the lady said, I'll give you the quote. Her name was Regina Dooley. She said, I just don't understand how they can do this to us. How can we give so much of ourselves and get nothing in return?
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah. You know, and it, well, you stop and think, Lordstown, look at all the concessions they give, $150 million concessions. Close.
Well, that just tells you something. Don't give General Motors, Ford, or Chrysler any concessions because they will screw you. I remember Roger Smith was the president, CEO of General Motors, and I was laid off. This is 1980, 81, and I was laid off, and another 150, couple hundred from the truck plant. And Roger Smith said General Motors needed concessions, and it would put people back to work if we gave concessions. So I think we gave back, I can't remember, but I can't believe it, but it passed in our plant to give back concessions. Of course, I spent another year. I almost went time for time. I never did get back to work when he said I was going to get back to work. So it was nothing but bullshit. Everything comes out of General Motors and the Solidarity House. I still like to know how in the hell can General Motors and UAW have stock, anything to do with anybody that you are negotiating with? Now, how in the hell does that happen? How can that be legal?
That's a good question. It's kind of hard to negotiate with yourself, right?
That can't be legal.
Well, that's what Brian's been complaining about that for years. How can you hold stock in a company that you're supposed to be representing the people in?
You can't. You freaking can't.
I guess you kind of can't. Ask Norwood Jewel how that works.
Yeah. And they're sweeping this under the frickin' rug like nothing really happened. No, you know, they're not even talking about this. And, you know, the people aren't, I'm reading things and they're not really talking about this. Guy ripped Chrysler folks off. He ripped them off. He was a vice president. Yeah. He wasn't some slob janitor at the Solidarity House. He was a frickin' vice president in charge of negotiations with Chrysler. And nobody's actually talking about it. It's like, okay, no big deal. No sweat. What, you know, just what the hell? People, wake the fuck up. Whoops, sorry.
No, you're right. In this last week was the first week the paper finally called it what it was. They said Noah Jewell took bribes. And they said when he got in, he said he was terrible negotiating, and he was terrible to try to bribe. And then they said when he got caught, he was the biggest crybaby of it. And I was like, wow. That was just me summarizing the article. They didn't make fun of crybaby, but they did say he was difficult. Difficult. I mean, I guess you use that in different sets of words, but that starts tomorrow, so that'll be interesting to.
Yeah, and you ripped him off. You ripped him off for all this, you know, a credit card. Didn't he get a credit card and other things? I don't know what else he got. But they're saying maximum, 12 and 18 months?
That's what they're expecting to hear, 16 to 18 months. And the same guy that did the same thing he did on the corporate side, Icabelli, they kept his minimum sentence at 5 years.
He screwed people. And, you know, that had to go through, let's not forget, that had to go through the president of the Solidarity of the UAW. That had to go through, he just didn't sign off before it were, you know, the president knew about it and other people knew about it. They had to see that this sucked. Christ, didn't they vote it down the first time? Wasn't it Chrysler voted it down?
Yeah. Instead of taking them out on strike, they held them where they were at, told them not to go on strike, and they come back like 6 hours later, and they're going to get a better deal. And when they found out that they had a tentative, that it was actually worse than the first deal that they had.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Or worse.
Freaking amazing. And you. Go ahead.
That would have been under Jewell and then President Dennis Williams.
Yeah.
So they knew, and at that time it would have been Gary Castile, who had been the money man at the time, the financial secretary. He would have known. And, of course, you know, the other VPs, Jim Settles, who's now retired, he knew about it, and that lady there that they have over Chrysler now, Cindy Estrada, sell out Cindy Estrada, sell out Lake Orion, sell out Cindy, you know. She knew about it, you know, the vice president knew about this.
All right.
And because they knew they were going to pattern that to Ford and the Chevrolet and then to General Motors. General Motors fell easier than they anticipated, but Ford hung tough. It was down to the last plant. In fact, if you remember, 4 years ago, or not quite 4 years ago, Jimmy Settles went inside that plant and they did the bucket brigade.
That's right. That's right. Forgot about the bucket.
That fellow, that fellow that called on the show at one time told us about what he saw, and when he tried to appeal that, that was shot down.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Yep.
Folks, you don't have much luck appealing unless you actually have somebody like Alice Bowles or somebody that is a labor lawyer. Because when you go up against the International Executive Board for appeal and the Public Review Board, when you go up against them, they make the decision themselves. People think it goes like a court or something. No. You bring charges against one of these people, they're self-governing. Self-governing. And then they literally sit down amongst themselves and the executive assistants, and they sit down and they figure out if you're guilty or not guilty. If you're not guilty, well, that's the end of that. Case closed. Next, you know?
Yeah.
So, people have been wanting help. Don can probably remember it wasn't that bad at first, but probably mid-90s maybe, a lot of people started to have that murmuring that, gee, it would be nice to have one member, one vote for a president.
Yeah.
Remember?
Oh, yeah.
There was a time when everybody was okay with who took over the reins. So when this person was leaving and the next person... People weren't too upset with it. And
right.
Now a lot of people upset. You need to be upset. Your ex-president, Dennis Wynn, has a...
Where did you go? Wait a minute. What did you do?
I didn't do nothing.
Your volume just went down. Let me check my mixer here. Hey, I've got an email from Larry Williams, Local 848 in Texas. He would like to know, since he's working, good Lord, I can't even speak. Verlander wants to know what Verlander did. Verlander, Larry, won his 15th game. He's 15-4. He had 10 strikeouts today, and Houston won, of course. So Verlander is kicking some major butt. There you go, Larry. Local 848. Is that Arlington?
Oh. No.
I don't know. 848. What the hell is 848? Said Grand Prairie, Texas, whatever the hell that is. I don't know.
Huh.
Anyway, 848. Thank you for listening, Larry. I don't know what plant that is. Is it Arlington? Well.
No.
What plant is it? What is it?
It's showing that it's, it just says Grand Prairie, Texas, like you said.
That's what he wrote,
It represents workers and retirees from the Triumph Aero Structures.
Oh. Oh, okay. That's a new
plane.
Yeah. Well, Local 848. Thank you, Larry Williams. And there you go. We do sports here too, so especially when Verlander wins.
Yeah. Verlander did us all right. We just didn't get the guy a ring, that's all.
I never heard of 848 in Texas, but that's okay.
No.
That's all right. Okay, now we know. We've got 34 people make that 44, excuse me, in the switchboard. If you would like to join the show, please do. Push 1 on your keypad if you would like to join. I'll get you right on. We're only going to, where are we going to, Scott?
8:00.
If you keep being as boring as you are right now, we'll go to 8:00. If it picks up, we'll go to 8:30. Okay.
All right.
I'm just saying, Scott.
Okay. Joplin, put a quote in from the Free Press.
Yeah.
Talking about Norwood Jewell, the article said UAW boss had the worst taste in corruption. That's pretty bad. And they put the quote in from the Detroit Free Press that says, the list of illegal benefits purchased with money that was supposed to be spent training workers included a $2,182 shotgun, $8,927 for a three-bedroom villa with a private pool and a hot tub in Palm Springs, $25,065 decadent party with strolling models, light lighting, labor leaders, cigars, and wine bottles featuring Jewel's name on the label. He also spent UAW member dues on another three-bedroom villa in a pool in a desert oasis.
Wow. And if people can't get pissed off on that, Scott, I don't know. I mean, I don't hear anybody just, I mean, come on, this was a vice president. You can't just, oh, okay, they got him. All is good. No, it isn't all is good. Believe me, he's not the only one. He just got caught. Who else big, like vice president and on up, was involved in this? Somebody had to know. Don't you think somebody had to know, you know, higher up than vice president?
If we remember from the late Nick Danson, it's no different than your local as it would be down in Detroit. There's two people who know everything that's going on inside that building. The president in the financial secretary.
Yep, that's what he said. That is what he said.
Just,
somehow or another, I'm not hearing nothing about Williams. I'm not hearing nothing, but I'm not hearing anything, actually, you know, from the workers.
No.
I thought the workers
no.
would be, that this is contract year, and here we are going to trust these morons again to screw us over because they're not going to stick it to them. No way they're going to stick it to them because they have stock. And how in the hell is that legal? I keep screaming at it. I can't. I just riddle the hell with it.
I'm with you.
I know you are.
If you have this guy right here, as far as being a shareholder, it would seem like it'd be pretty damn impossible to negotiate a fair contract when you are beholden to a company that you're supposed to be negotiating with. But you need that company to do well because you put VEBA, your retired health care, in their stock program. So you need that to pull off. But that's only part of it. The backside of the VEBA is the active workers who no longer see their cost of living allowance, which last time I checked was like $265 an hour, that gets not put in the worker's paycheck, but that still comes out of your negotiated wages and gets rolled into the VEBA.
Right.
So it's kind of a slap in the face and a kick in the ass at the same time, so to say. But that a slap in your face and kick your ass on the way out. I don't know. But with Norwood Jewel getting sentenced to this thing, there's one key little piece in this whole pie that people have yet to forget about, and I'm going to remind you about it right now. We heard Palm Springs. Who orchestrated the big stay at Palm Springs? Your current president right now.
Hmm.
And we found out that some of those people were there longer than Norwood was. You know, he was there on this fancy, you know, place for a couple of months to tune about $9,000. Some of these people were there 6 months or longer on our dime. You know, I'm just saying, this, all this stuff, I'm with you, Don. And just, when's the other shoe going to drop on all this?
I don't think it started. I don't think it is.
And if it doesn't, then Brian Teller is justified in by saying that it's all done. Because we all know if they did it at Chrysler, they did it at Ford, they did it at General Motors.
And yeah.
I mean, because I remember they were investigating Cindy, and I remember they were going to look at Jimmy Settle, and then all of a sudden stuff got real quiet, didn't
it? Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
And they moved Cindy over to Fiat Chrysler, and then they moved the new guy up to General Motors, and then moved the new guy over to Fiat Chrysler.
Right.
Or Ford. So, I don't know, but I can take you back. It's been within a year. It was a quote, a direct quote. It was in the news and in the free press where Dennis Williams stole them. But all right, I told him to spend some of that money. He told him. But, well, in our world, that's called self-implication. He admitted to it.
Wow.
Just need these our workers to get upset about this. You
yeah.
need to hold your all of your elected committee people, committee persons. You need to hold them to that highest standard. And as far as your local officers, you need to hold them to an even higher standard. And tell them, you're not going to accept bullshit contracts. Yeah, no chairs.
Yeah.
About the living back. I mean, the list
now,
goes on.
Until people, it's not going to happen. I will not believe these people that are working, busting their ass every day are going to vote anything different than vote. You know, let me. Somewhere I've got an email. I got a. Let me print this off and I'll read it.
Okay.
Oh, shit. What the hell did I didn't do? I just did something. Hang on. I tagged
now,
it off.
If you're doing that, you know, they did tell these people at Warren that they were highly trained individuals, the people that did this job. And that they would like to see them move on. The two other unallocated, instead of calling it closed or idle, we use this bullshit word called unallocated. Lordstown and Baltimore
yeah.
Operations in Maryland. Baltimore Operations in Maryland was, yeah, I knew there was something there, but I remember, I think they built the Astro Van there, but there might have been, I don't know what else was there. And then it was something because they idled that one too. And of course, Oshawa, that big complex in Oshawa, Canada. But, I don't know. They said that, General Motors said that, they have job opportunities for all hourly workers at the impacted plant.
Mm-hmm.
These are highly skilled employees, and we want them to stay with the company. Well, geez, and why just keep their work right there instead of sending them out to Mexico? Just a thought. They don't care. You know, it's bullshit. You know, the idle plant, or the new phrase is unallocated.
Right.
Excuse me. We just call it closed plant. We didn't even call it idle. The plant gets closed. And they did it very quickly. So I think the only one that had a reprieve was till, I think it's 2020.
Yeah.
Was Sam Tramick, D-Ham. And we've got quite a few people from Detroit Ham Tramick that are playing now.
Yeah.
We've got more people coming in from like Oregon.
Well, good.
People who are transferred out. Yeah, we got transferred out to the Corvette plant down in Bowling Green.
Bowling Green, yeah.
We got the people that transferred out and went down to Spring Hill. One of your favorite places to go work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed my week there. Bunch of assholes. I just couldn't believe how they ran that plant. That was before Dick got down there, though. So, let me read this email from John Jeffers, local 249. Excuse me, I couldn't find it. Local 249, Kansas City. I'm pissed off about our union, and I think it goes much deeper than Jewel. You are right, Donnie. I don't hear anyone bitching about what happened My son works in Fort Wayne truck plant. It's like he says people want to know are wondering how big their bonus will be. And he just says, wake up, people. The union are screwing us all. John Jeffords, there you go. I don't know what local 249 in Kansas City is, but I'm glad you're putting your locals down, folks, letting us know.
Yeah.
I never heard of 249 before, but I never heard of 848. I think that was 848 in Texas.
Kansas City is where they built that new hot rod my wife just got.
Oh, very nice truck.
Now you make me think it. I mean, it's Westville makes Colorado, and Kansas City is Ford.
I don't know. Look it up. Don't be lazy.
I will. I am local 249.
249. 249. I never heard of 249. I had to look on the email. Thank you, John Jeffers. And what? Oh, yeah. In case there's more people in the switchboard. Missed the first email we got from Jack Paul. That's his name, Jack Paul. He's a retiree from Local 1292. He says, guys, I'm 81 years old from Local 1292, and that's in Grand Blanc, Michigan. Tell me why I have to pay full price for my dick pills, and you young people don't. One horny, broke retiree, Jack Paul. And Kate. In case you folks missed that, at least when he's 81 years old, and he's saying, "Yeah, I want to get what is it, jiggy with it, or whatever the hell they say." The young people say, "Good for him."
Yeah.
Good for him.
Right. Local 249 is Ford.
Is it Ford?
Yeah.
All right.
Pleasant Valley, Missouri. So, if I remember right, Kansas City, half of Kansas City is on Kansas, and then half is in Missouri, right?
Well, there's Kansas City, Missouri.
And Kansas City, Kansas. Yeah.
And there's Kansas City, Kansas. Yep. And there's going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. It's a song, Scott. I mean, it's over your head.
Yeah.
When there's silence on the radio, you know it's over your head.
It's over your head.
Yeah.
I'll rattle your old brain cells that. I remember the Kansas City Bombers.
Oh, yeah. And you remember, I used to watch them on Sunday morning, too. They had a Kansas City something or another on Every Sunday they play that. Girls knocking the hell out of each other, and the guys. Yeah.
But I remember the game, the most famous one was when Raquel Welch portrayed one. Remember one?
Well, that's those, true.
Those tight shorts and that tight T-shirt and that loose fitting helmet. Get out there and
see,
pull
Jack,
each other, sling each other.
Jack from 1290, local 1292, just listen to Scott talk to you about Raquel Welch, and you won't need any dick pills. There you go, Scott. Give the old guy a bone. The email address here, you can email faxer, F-A-X-E-R, 1-S-T, at AOL.com. Baxter first at AOL.com. We get a lot of people from this show that listens to the Saturday Night Show, and I get emails, so that must be where people are getting the email address. Unless, you know, I used to give it all the time, but usually only retirees give their real name or their whole name.
Right.
You do not have to sign it. But I appreciate if you give us your local, but you do not have to put your name down. And on the subject bar, just put UAW show or something, General Motors, Ford, or Chrysler, or something like that on there. Because I get rid of a lot of email that's just bullshit. A lot of crap. I get a lot of crap. So.
Right. Speaking of Ford, when I was talking about Ford, Kentucky Ford Motor Supplier, they're laying 200 employees off. They're letting them go.
200 of them, huh?
Martin Reeve Heavy Stamping Plant in Shelbyville, Kentucky, will let 192 of its 800 employees go on August 5th, according to the company's spokeswoman, Anna Lawrence. She said that the plant will be transitioning from its current Ford Escape model to a newer model and will not need as many employees.
And you don't hear a word from General Motors about, you know, or UAW raising hell. Like, you remember back in the day, they used to raise hell when they have a big layoff or a closing. They don't say a damn word anymore.
No.
Not a freaking word. My wife and I stay in Shelbyville a lot. When I'm driving down to Alabama, we just get a room in Shelbyville. It's a beautiful town. That's a shame. And you don't, you know, at least get in the newspaper and raise some hell about it. At least do that. Give us some lip service like you give a damn. But they don't. That's the problem, Scott. They don't. And they haven't for a hell of a long time. And people better wake up, because they're diversifying into everything, teachers, casinos, everything, because they know the automotive, they're coming out with equipment that'll take one piece of one robot will take 10 jobs. Before I retired, you've seen the body shop.
Yeah.
That's jobs I used to do in a body shop. There were damn robots who were doing it.
Right. Show it us. We got a local. A UAW local suing the UAW leadership down at Solidarity House for fear of widespread corruption to hurt their future.
Well, no, wait. Back up. Now, a local is what?
A UAW local.
What local is doing that?
Doing.
What local?
Trade Union has asked me that. It is.
Okay, just skip it. Just carry on. We only have, unless you want to go to 8:30, we got 2 minutes and 30 seconds to go. unless you want to go longer.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're doing all right. It's local 961.
Okay, what's 960? I don't know any of the damn locals.
I used to know. But the idea of it is that still you have a local that is suing the UAW because of what's happening.
You say 931?
Not 961.
Nine what?
961.
961, okay.
60. 961. They're concerned as far as what's going on with Norwood and the rest of the leadership, and evidently it's, you know,
really
very clear.
No kidding. No kidding. That's Marysville, Michigan. Region 1.
Wow.
Region 1. Marysville. Good for them. Finally, a local with balls.
Yeah.
A local with balls. Every freaking local should be joining that lawsuit or whatever they're doing. Good for them. Marysville. Absolutely excellent. Locals 961. Keep that, Scott.
Yeah.
Keep that.
Yeah.
Wow. Awesome.
They're concerned enough for their members come in negotiation.
What? Say that again, brother.
Concerned that they are concerned enough for their members that they're trying to protect them against this corruption.
Good God, I love it.
Isn't that something?
Frickin' local.
They took.
Good for them.
They took their blue pill.
Yeah, they did. And I hope they stick it right up their ass up there and down there in Detroit. Good for them. Marysville. Very proud of local 961. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, it is.
That's wonderful. Wow. Now, you know, I don't know what will happen, but at least they're trying to do something. Every freaking local should be doing something. But our local, we got a president. I see him and he tried to get in every picture he can. I don't know what the hell he's doing. That's what he did. I know, you know. He's a kiss ass. He loves everybody, but he doesn't do it. I haven't seen him do a damn thing. Scott, I don't know. You're there. But I knew him when he was vice president in charge of popcorn in the plant. And he was always making sure popcorn was made on Wednesdays.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
We still have that on Wednesday.
Oh,
so
good.
That hasn't changed.
Yeah, you know, good day. I am so happy somebody's doing something. Somebody's doing something. Because we're sitting on our thumbs. I don't know.
Yeah.
We got to do something. But now, you know, these people, and I can't blame these people making $17 or $18 an hour. I can't blame them. I can't blame them one goddamn bit if they say, well, I'm going to take that $10,000 signing bonus. How can you blame them? We're the ones that screwed them. We're the ones that screwed them. Now we turn around. We screwed ourselves.
Yeah.
You can't get me to believe they're the seniority people with your time, Brian's time, John's time, are going to vote for it too because, you know, people live paycheck to paycheck and $10,000, boom.
Yeah.
Okay. We got somebody.
Anybody who voted,
yeah. Of course, I couldn't find anyone at our plant to vote it yes, but I know they did. I'm telling everybody, you don't be stupid. Don't you give up everything here, just like we did before. Oh, that's Brian. Let me get Brian on. Brian, you're on with us, buddy.
Yeah. Marysville was suing because there's a third party company that actually runs Marysville Axle. And even though it's owned by Chrysler, Fiat Chrysler Automotive, that third party company basically runs the plant. And supposedly there was talk of Fiat Chrysler Automotive selling that facility to that third party company. And so Marysville Axle the membership was upset because the leadership nor the company told them about it, and it kind of hit them by surprise. And they think it was possibly negotiated during the time that Norwood Jewell and all of them were in there. So based off the corruption and the collusion, they think that's when that took place.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
But they filed their suit after I had filed mine, much after I filed mine. And I remember when I filed mine, you know, I got a lot of grief from the membership talking about, oh, Keller's suing himself and suing us and suing the union and all the others. No. It's no different than what Marysville is doing, you know.
Yeah.
The fact is there's no other options. I mean, the fact that how many of us went down at the UAW Constitutional Convention and tried to run against the caucus, and it's controlled, we all lost. You can sit there and do like Scott Holderson and sit there and argue on the floor that, we want more language, da-da-da, and they said, you don't like it, appeal it. But my thing is the executive board is part of the Solidarity House, and they're all corrupt down there. So the process does not work for us. So what other options do we have besides the National Labor Relations and maybe the courts? So my thing is even the National Labor Relations Board and the courts might not even be on our side as well, because past history has shown that even if you go to the courts or the National Labor Relations Board, we still end up losing. But the fact is they are doing something. At least, you know, they're making an attempt to do something. And so, you know, I give them respect for that. I really
you
do.
Damn right. I do, too. Yeah. It's awesome.
And like I said, and like you said, I think more locals need to do this. The problem is most of these locals got elected and appointed positions, and they're all Kool-Aid driners. So
exactly right.
I'm surprised Lordstown, the president at Lordstown, didn't do that, you know. So,
yeah.
I mean, all these plants getting shut down, and the only one that did anything was Marysville Axle. I can't even talk right tonight. So, you know, I had to give them credit and much respect for doing so.
Damn right, I do too. I think that's wonderful, and I think that should be happening. Every local should stand up for the people, but they won't do it. You know they won't do it.
If you get Warren Transmission, Lordstown, Dehem, you know, all that was negotiated when Norwood Jewell was in ahead of Chrysler, Cindy Estrada ahead of General Motors, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know why everybody else is not jumping on that bandwagon of finding some type of legal services that would, you know, help them find out how those things took place. You know, who negotiated them? Why was it negotiated? And what was given to agree to have these plants closed down? You know, something's got to be done.
Something has to be done. I agree. And you would think that people that work for Chrysler would be raising hell because they got screwed. It seems like that would nullify their damn contract.
Well, but that can still happen now. I mean, because my complaint with the National Labor Relations Board hasn't been answered yet, but I'm sure as soon as the Sixth District Court of Appeals makes a decision in the next week whether they're going to hear our case, I think if they do hear our case and, you know, it goes in the membership's favor, then I think then the National Labor Relations Board is going to have to answer our complaint and of course, side with the membership as well. So at that point, there's a good chance that the Department of Labor will force Chrysler to renegotiate the contract, and we also might get the one member, one vote. So those things are possible. I mean, am I saying that's going to happen? No, I'm not, but it's possible.
It's possible. And that's all you can ask for right now. You got a chance. And, man, wouldn't that be sweet? One member, one vote. Oh, my God.
You know, but people don't realize it really is difficult. I'm surprised, really, that Marysville Axle was able to find a law firm that was willing to take their case because
– Hey, Brian, hold on. Hang up.
Yep.
Hang on for a second. That's what I was going to say earlier when we were talking about, you know, Marysville earlier. And I wondered, how in the hell did they find any law firm that would allow a lawyer to take this case? Because it is next to impossible. I remember years and years and years ago, I was looking for a lawyer to sue General Motors over something. I don't even remember what it was now. And I'm telling you, every lawyer, well, within 60 miles of Flint, from Flint on out, said, no way, not a chance. Sorry.
You got to remember, a lot of these law firms have a contract with GM, Ford, and Chrysler and the UAW for our legal services. So most of them won't even take a case.
Yeah. You're right. They got them tied up with the legal services crap that I don't know about if you guys ever had to use one of these lawyers, but I knew four people that used them for simple things. And Kim was one of them, Scott, that used to work next to me. She had to go to another lawyer and they had to redo everything. They're good for wills.
I mean, we even played hell finding a law firm, and the law firm that we have now out of Bloomfield Hills, when we went to them, even at first they told us no. And
wow.
It wasn't until Acapella started singing where they agreed to take the case. And so from there, Sterling Attorneys at Law reached out to another law firm out in Washington, D.C. So now we have two law firms, one out of Washington, D.C., and one out of Bloomfield Hills, overseeing the class action lawsuit against Fiat Chrysler Automotive and the UAW, or the Solidarity House, I should say. And also they're overseeing our complaint with the National Labor Relations Board.
Damn. Well, they must think you have a case if they took it. You have a damn good chance.
Because you know what? When you're taking on Chrysler and the Solidarity House, which has numerous amounts of money and their own lawyers, that's very costly. And so you're right. They had to know there was something there. Otherwise, they wouldn't have took the case.
No, they wouldn't have. No, they wouldn't have. You know what pisses me off? We're paying for Norwood Jewel's lawyers. That's what pisses me off. Everything he's done, and we're still paying that asshole.
We're paying all of his legal bills, and he's got two pensions. And see, that's the other thing I bring up. You know, the membership need to sue. If anything is found on any of these people, whether it be Cindy Estrada, Norwood Jewel, Burdell King, whatever, the membership needs to come together and find a law firm that's willing to sue them individually and get their pensions pulled.
That's right. I agree. They don't deserve two pensions. If they're found ripping off anything in the union, ripping off anything, anybody, they should lose their pension. And you know what? The people, every local should chip in and have, we should vote for a treasurer, which is a worker, a president, vice, you know, have our own little thing and put money in the kitty every month or every week, whatever, and till we build up money to sue if we have to sue. And I think that would be a great, somebody came with that idea years ago, Scott. I don't know if you remember, but the guy was trying to set something up, but it never went anywhere because he couldn't get, you know, he didn't know every, you know, people from every local. He was hitting all the shows and all the websites trying to get people interested in this idea, which would be, I think, a great idea. People pool their money together, and it wouldn't take long to have a nice chunk of change to pay a law firm.
Oh, that's the problem. See, most of the membership want to count on Scott or Don or Brian Keller or Marysville to do all the work. Nobody else wants to do anything. Everybody's waiting for somebody else to do it.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about
that. You know, and truthfully, with all the years that I've been doing this, I think I've done a lot. But, you know, most of the membership doesn't appreciate what I've done. And people have called me names. They've called me anti-union. They called me everything in the book, you know.
That's just incredible. You know, the old man, Dick Dangin, when I've talked to him privately on the phone, he had so much respect for you. He said, you know, it's not going to go nowhere, but you know what? He's out there busting his ass. And he was very proud of you. And he would tell me when we talked, man, he'd always bring you up. He said, no, you're not going to crash down the walls. They'll shoot and kill you quicker than you can get through there. But he said, but Brian would do it. Brian would be probably the only one, but he'd do it. He would march his ass right through that gate. And that's what he said, too.
And he's right. I would, because I
know.
Mean, the way I look at it is I'm losing. So what do I got to lose?
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's how I look at it, and I would hope that the rest of the membership would look at it the same way, because anytime the Solidarity House negotiates pensions away, or COLA, or the Job Bank, or agrees to a tier system or a temp system, and no longer support equality, and they start diversifying, trying to unionize casinos and municipalities and things, that tells you that they're no longer representing the membership in the auto industry no more, and that they're working against our interests. Anytime they take on GM and Chrysler stock and oversee the VEBA, which is all conflicts of interest, it tells you that there's no way that the Solidarity House can negotiate in our interest when they're holding GM and Chrysler stock and overseeing the VEBA. I mean, these are all common sense things that you would think that would be enough to get the membership pissed and to unify, and the fact that they even built that cottage for Dennis Williams using non-union skilled trades.
Yeah.
The $1 million in Palm Springs, the wine and dine management, the $400 million in 2014 or 2013 when they tried to unionize the southern plants, then tried again in 2019 and again failed. So we're talking about millions of hundreds of millions of dollars that the leadership at the Solidarity House has wasted on whining and dining themselves and trying to unionize the South. And my thing is, how do you spend $400 to $500 million on hotels and bus rides trying to unionize the South? There's just no possible way. And the fact that they got two pensions, they've lined their pensions up, they're going to go out with a golden parachute while the rest of us get screwed. And the only way around this is through that Solidarity House gate. And I've been preaching this and I understand there's a lot of people against violence and things of that sort, but this union was founded on violence. Our union brothers and sisters bled and died for this union. Management got the National Guard, they got cops, everything beating on union brothers and sisters back in the 30s. So what's different today than it was back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s? There is no difference.
No.
Because the U.S. dollar is still the world currency, and the United States is still the largest consumer. They can't live without the U.S. dollar, and these companies need the North American markets. We have that going for us if the membership were willing to come together and fight for what we all share in common. It's pretty simple, cut and dry to me, but I don't know.
Well,
go ahead.
Is he trying to talk, Scott?
Go ahead, Scott. We're listening to you.
Oh, okay. The federal prosecutor, I guess his name is Gardy. He wrote this. He said that, according to what he had to say about it, was the UAW leaders were told to be kept fat, dumb, and happy, and to ring concessions favoring the automaker according to his office, the federal prosecutor. He said, and I quote, "Rather than the concerns of his membership, it is apparent Jewell was most concerned with fancy meals, rounds of golf, and other perks of being at the highest level of the UAW leadership team." He said, "The insult to the injury suffered by the UAW rank and file as a result of the scandal, Jewell's lawyer compared his client to the captain of the Titanic and asking the judge not to impose a prison sentence." Kind of like that.
Well, he is sinking the ship. And you guys remember years ago when I told you that the Solidarity House told me that it was best to save the body and cut off the limbs. They're the body, they're the limbs. So we're going down with the ship. Why they saved themselves. I mean, it don't get no more clearer than that.
No. It really doesn't. I mean, when you look at in light of everything that's happened in the last 8 years, the last two contracts, and how concessionary they have been in nature to see where we're going. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure it out how important this contract coming up is for all of us, be at Chrysler and Ford and General Motors. Coupled with you have a leadership team, a new leadership team down there, who is still involved somehow in some way with all the shenanigans that went on the previous contract, because they were all, any of these people were a regional director or, you know what I mean? They weren't just
Everybody that's there now at the Solidarity House from Gary Jones on down was part of Dennis Williams' caucus, which was part of Bob King's caucus, which was part of Ron Gettelfinger's caucus. They were all responsible for selling you those sold-out contracts. They were responsible for selling you the increase in union dues just to turn around and bargain your contracts in bad faith. I've told people over the last quite a few years that you have a bunch of white-collar workers running this union with no blue-collar values. And Gary Jones is a certified public accountant. Cindy Estrada came through, I believe it was her ex-husband that got her into the Solidarity House. And, you know, a lot of these people have no actual labor experience or negotiations experience in a global economy. And I've said this for years. And so now we find ourselves in this predicament, and with all the corruption, the collusion, the nepotism, and the sold out contracts and the concessions and the loss of jobs and plant closings and all that, the membership is just sitting there idle and nobody's doing nothing. You got people, all they're doing is griping. You got retirees talking about, what about us? Where's our Christmas bonus? Where's our COLA? You got temps complaining, I've been a temp for 3 years. You got two tier talking about, well, when do we come up to tier one wages? And you got tier one complaining about the conditions and their rights and things of that sort. Yeah. Well, you know what? We're all suffering in some type of way. And if we're not all going to come together for what we all share in common, which is one of them is key, which is equality. Because if you don't have equality, you don't have unity. If you don't have unity, you don't have solidarity. If you guys ain't going to fight for these things, you're not going to get these things back, and this union is going to collapse from within. And your leadership is the one handing everything back over to the company without a fight. When General Motors announced those five plant closings, then it should have been where the Solidarity House just called an outright strike throughout General Motors. Not sit there and wait for negotiations to come up and then say, well, maybe we'll shut down one of GM's engine plants or something, you know. No, strike them all. Don't select a local to strike. Let them all walk. Or don't sit there and hashtag somebody, you know, what's hashtag General Motors, or have a candle vigil out in front of, you know, the GM headquarters. That don't do shit.
No.
Call a strike.
No.
No, I agree. You're absolutely right. You got to cost the corporation money. Go ahead, Scott.
I would like to know who the people were that was at the Solidarity House from Lordstown when they had their meeting down there. You know, because they were applauding the leadership, the international leadership as they come through. And it's like, these people were part of your demise at Lordstown. What
well,
did they do
look,
to...
If I recall, their delegates from all those facilities went down to the UAW Constitutional Convention, and not just they supported the 31% salary increase, they supported Gary Jones' caucus. So guess what? Your delegates voted for your plant closings because you guys didn't want to reform the leadership at the Solidarity House, and so you guys got exactly what you got. You don't hold your delegates responsible or accountable. You don't hold the leadership responsible or accountable. It is what it is. Until you guys on the floor decide you had enough and you want to come together and hold that leadership responsible from the floor all the way up to the Solidarity House, then you guys will continue to be on the losing end of this.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
And I understand that I'm just a blue-collar worker and, you know, I'm quote-unquote uneducated, not smart enough to run the Solidarity House. Only Gary Jones and certified public accountants know how to run the union. So they sure do. They knew how to run you out of your plants, didn't they?
Yeah. They knew how to take money out of our strike fund too, didn't they?
Sure. This union was founded by people like me and you, blue collar workers that came from the floor. Not certified public accountants and people with degrees. These people think they're actually colleagues with management because they all got something in common. They all got degrees and they're educated, quote unquote, right? So, of course, they're going to sit there and line their pockets and intertwine and go out golf outings and $6,000 steak dinners and everything off the backs of you guys because They know you guys are scared. They know you guys ain't going to do nothing. And as long as they can get a free lunch, guess what? They're gonna take that free lunch.
Right. Right.
The members didn't get what they deserve. You guys didn't stand and fight. That's on you. I went out there and stood and fought. And a lot of other people went out there and stood and fought. How many people backed Scott Holderson when he was at the bargaining convention on the floor? Not too many. Huh. I think maybe one or two.
Right. Not enough.
You know, there you go. So if you guys ain't going to back the people that are speaking out on behalf of you, and you ain't going to stand in solidarity and unity with these people, and you're going to stand in unity and solidarity with the leadership that's screwing you over, then you guys deserve to get screwed.
That's
Stop
true.
Drinking the Kool-Aid. Because Jerry Jones is not going to pay your bills. Cindy Estrada, Norwood Jewel, ain't none of them going to pay your bills. But when they get out of prison for good behavior after, say, 9 or 12 months, they're going to fall back on two pensions, and they ain't even going to think twice about you because they ain't even got legal bills to pay because the Solidarity House even paid the legal bills to cover Norwood Jewel and Burdell King after they screwed you over.
True.
So, there you go.
True. Nice. Nice.
I mean, it don't get like no more clearer than that. I mean, if you lack the common sense, that's on you, but it doesn't get, to me, it doesn't get no clearer than that.
That's true. We got 60 seconds, guys.
All right.
You know,
I lived in
Swartz Creek, and I lived down the street from, I forgot his first name, but it's Jewel, and this is his brother, and they were a bunch of assholes anyway. Stuck up mother efforts, but I hope he gets more than 18 months. He deserves more than 18 months. That's an insult to the workers of Chrysler.
Well, this is the other thing I got to say. How come, you know, nobody's fussing about Norwood Jewel or General Holyfield or any of their kids are all down there making over $100,000 for doing nothing? And how come nobody's asking for a special convention to have Cindy Estrada removed?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, you got the UAW Constitution. How come nobody's putting in a request for a special convention to have her removed? Nobody's doing nothing. That's the problem.
Wow. It's hard to believe that's where we're at. It is.
Yeah.
Well, I'll see what happens this week. It ought to be. Go ahead.
No, I'm just. I got a text message from Terry, and I imagine that's T-Bone. He said, "Wrong. They no longer cover even generic dick pills for." So Jack, they don't cover those either. So
I suggest if you guys cannot get Viagra, to stick your finger up your butt and use it as a puppet.
You crazy.
Because it was you guys that all sat back and let this leadership do what they did to us, and you guys didn't do nothing about it when you had the chance. You guys opened the door for this. You opened the door for the tier system and the temp system and the concessions and the plant closings. And since you guys didn't do nothing, now you're crying because you can't get your winky hard. Stick your finger up your butt and play puppet.
Oh, my.
Draw some little eyes on there. Can't play with them.
got the little
one-eye bandit.
Oh, my God. The poor Jack, he's 81 years old, and he has to hear this. Oh, Brian, that was good.
Well, I'm not referring to Jack, because Jack goes back pretty far, so I'm not referring to Jack. I'm talking about some of these newer people that retired within the last, I say, 15, maybe 20 years.
Ouch. Ouch. He just slapped me in the butt. You put your finger up my butt off. You play with my winky.
Well, look, the reality is this. When the companies and the union agreed to start giving early packages for early retirements, a lot of people that seen the writing on the wall jumped ship. And nobody stood the fight. They figured, well, I'm getting mine, screw everybody else, I'm good. But let alone, now you thought you got yours, but now you can't even get your winky hard. You don't get no pills for that.
I didn't get nothing to retire early. I didn't retire early. I had 35 freaking years. That isn't early. Come on.
You didn't get your finger. A package?
Hell no, I didn't get no package, and I ain't going to take your finger up my butthole either.
But then you're not included in that. I'm talking about the people that took the early retirement.
Well, I'm just, the way you were talking there, you thought I got this beautiful package, and no. I didn't get
anything. Well, you ain't got no excuse. Don't you have a wife that's like 20 years younger than you?
Okay, so what's your point?
So, meaning...
I didn't say my winky.
Meaning your junk should automatically get hard.
Wait. It's don't get everybody talking about this yet. My winky hasn't got a problem. Okay? This is Jack. Oh, man. I can see the fucking emails now. No, Jack wrote this email. This hasn't got nothing to do with my winky. Oh, my God, no. Hell no.
Okay, so you're good.
No, well, damn, so you're making it sound like I'm bad. You got me all. I'm shaking. No, let's clarify this. Ladies and gentlemen, before you send your freaking emails, there's nothing wrong in my marriage. Nothing. Mr. Winky does fine. And I don't need a finger up my ass. Trust me, I don't need to be playing puppet tonight.
Well, I'm sure you've had prostate exams, right?
They give you a blood test for that. No, I haven't had one. I have never had one like that. They do blood tests. Are you on
so
your
So you never had the doctor's finger in your butt playing puppet?
No.
Okay.
Up in that day. What the hell's wrong with you? Oh, my God. What the hell happened to Brian?
Hey, Brian.
Holy shit.
I know his doctor. Man, I can recommend that
doctor
for him next time he comes in.
Well, I'll tell you, we got the same doctor, Scott, but I'll tell you right now, that ain't never going to happen. You got that? And he was playing one time. He had a glove on and shit. We play around. That's why I have the last appointment of the day, because we have a good time. And he had this glove on, and I was opening the door, and I was, he's killing me. He's got my pants down around my knees. I'm hollering out the door, and there was actually patients waiting to see him.
Oh, no.
He said, Don, we got patients in the other room. I thought I was the last appointment. I usually am. Oh, we have a good time.
Oh,
he's a good doctor. He's a great doctor.
Yeah.
We do have a good time, but he saved my life. I'll give that my doctor credit. He saved my life. And he never lets me forget it. But no.
So that means Don and Scott, you both are sharing a finger.
No. Scott,
no.
I'm telling you right now, I got a virgin butthole. Let's keep that in mind.
There you go.
And when I blew my stomach out, they gave me a blood test to check. No, everything's fine down there. Everything is go. You know. The only thing
they do a blood test now?
Yes, they do a blood test. You don't have to have the finger up your ass. I never had that.
Well, I'm at the age of 50, so I'm going to request the blood test with my doctor. I have a female doctor, so.
I did tell a guy he was 40 years old, and he was talking about, man, pretty soon I have to have a prostate test. And I said, yeah, you're going to get the two-finger willy, baby. Two finger really. But I didn't tell him there's a blood test. Yes, there is a blood test.
What do they say? Two fingers in the pink and one in the stink?
That's the girls. I'm not
well,
a
you
girl.
Had a bowling ball.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Went down the toilet quick. Chewing a pink one in the stink. Oh, my God. And before you sent me emails, ladies, that wasn't from me. That was from Brian. Okay?
That was Scott's voice.
I'm not getting credit for that. God dang. Somebody wound something
up. It's a good time to end this show now.
Yeah, you could get kicked off. I have to admit, I had more fun doing this show this time in the last 15 minutes than the whole show. Brian has brought some hilarity to this damn show, and I appreciate that. And remember, Brian is the one that said two in the pink, one in the stinker. And bowling ball. Don't forget that. So when you want to send your emails, address it to me, but put it Brian, dear Brian. All right? Brian did
it
all.
I'm looking out for the women's health.
Yeah,
it's
you
all
are.
About women's health. Yep.
It's all about that, isn't it? I haven't heard
it really
that
is.
In years. In freaking years.
Do mammograms, too.
There you go, ladies. You heard him. He's now an acting gynecologist, and we're proud of him. He finally got his license, and I am proud of him. Oh, my God.
Well, I got my permit, not my driver's license.
You ain't right. Oh, my God. My wife is in there laughing her ass off. Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. Address Dr. Brian. That's his name, Dr. Brian Keller. And please address all correspondence to him. We got to go now. We should have gone a long time ago. I'm crying. I can't stop. Okay. I can't wait till next week. Oh, boy. Hey, that lady in Tennessee, Chattanooga, didn't she have a crush on Brian? Yeah.
I think she might have.
Who are you referring to?
She sent a couple emails. She wrote a couple emails about you and your Jeep.
Yeah.
I remember that. You remember that, yeah. Brian, you stud.
No, I don't remember that.
She thought you was just a stellar young man and upright and wow.
I bet her opinion
got changed tonight.
And she loved you because you had a Jeep, and you talked about your Jeep, and she sent emails, a couple emails about you, and you had to say you were married.
I am married.
You might not be after this show. She hears what you had to say. She might have a reason for a divorce. I'm just saying. I've been there. Don't worry about it. You'll live through it. I've been through it a couple times. Don't worry about it.
You got to strike back, didn't you, after the one-eyed puppet?
Good Lord, one-eyed puppet. I got freaking tears coming out. My nose is stuffed up. Stop it.
What do they call that? A cyclops?
One-eyed cyclops. Jesus. Well, we got 48 people in the switchboard, and there ain't one of them pushing one. Oh, my God. Oh, okay. wife
guys have a good night.
You have a wonderful night. On behalf of who the hell's here? Scott and I'm sorry. On behalf of Brian and Scott and my name is John. We'll be back next week. 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time right here on the UAW Factory Whistle Show. Good night. Brian, his name is Brian, and Dr. Brian, by the way, and Scott. And it's his show. He had to get away from him. And I had nothing to do with it. And good night, everybody.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.